Musical fashions come and go.
There was a time, I remember a discussion I had, in fact, with Clifford Curzon in the 70s, who is a wonderful pianist, and he said, you know, you cannot play Bach on the piano. You just cannot do it.
Pianist Murray Pariah was reminding me the other day that for a time it was not very fashionable or even acceptable to play Bach on something other than the harpsichord.
Even the major pianists were saying that you can't play Bach on the piano. And in a way, that was one of the main inspirations for me wanting to do it.
Pariah has come to Bach relatively late in life. His Grammy Award 2 years ago was for a recording of Bach English suites, and he's just recorded the Goldberg Variations, which he's also performing around the globe these days. For Pariah, finding Bach was no career move, no intellectual decision. It was a means of pulling himself through the darkest period in his pianistic life, a stretch of about 3 or 4 years when a finger injury threatened his future as a musician.
I listened to a lot of the cantatas, a lot of the choral music, the St. John Passion, the St. Matthew Passion. I became immersed in Bach's music, all away from the piano because I couldn't touch the piano. But I imagined how it would sound on the piano and then work day in and day out with this music.
Murray Pariah, in his early years, had concentrated on a certain kind of traditional classical repertoire, Schumann, Beethoven, Mendelssohn, and he'd played a good deal of chamber music. And then, at not quite 20, the young man of great promise was invited to study with the legendary eccentric virtuoso Vladimir Horowitz.
I felt too frightened to do that. It had been arranged, and then I decided, no, I couldn't do it. And many years later, when I called Mr. Horowitz again, we got together, and he asked me why I hadn't played any Liszt or Rachmaninoff or any of the virtuoso repertoire. And I said, well, I hadn't been guided in any of that. My field had been really the classical repertoire. And he said, you know, to be more than a virtuoso, first you have to be a virtuoso. I said, well, how would I go about doing that? He said, well, I could help you. And it was, in a sense, not really lessons, but more playing for him on an informal basis. I could see him every day if I had wanted to, and many times I did. Our talks were about the virtuoso repertoire. But he had a deep love of Mozart.
So Pariah built a distinguished career balancing the forces that influenced him. He recorded the complete Mozart piano concerti, conducting from the keyboard. He tore through the romantic repertoire, recording it piece by piece. And then, one day, in his 40s, at the height of his career, he picked up a piece of paper and got a paper cut.
It wasn't treated properly. I got an infection. 2 weeks later, the finger ballooned up out of all proportion. But then it probably was no longer an infection. It was kind of inflammation, and trying to find the cause of it was impossible. I don't know, by the time we found that it was some kind of spur on the bone that was causing these complications, that took about 3-4 years.
And as a way of not considering the question of whether he would ever play again, Pariah began to consider the question of Bach and the ways Bach has been played on the keyboard. There were, of course, always pianists who played Bach on the piano. There was a tradition.
And then it died. It was only Glenn Gould, and it was only playing in this very special way that he had. And somehow to play Bach with the pedal and to play Bach using the sounds that the piano could give you was considered something you didn't do.
So when the final surgery did repair his finger problem, Pariah returned to the keyboard to play Bach, and the keyboard initially was, of all things, a harpsichord. Though he didn't perform or record on harpsichord, Pariah used it as a way to develop an approach to Bach.
I was determined that I would get Bach eventually on the piano, but I was going to go with the fashion, which was original instruments, and I was going to try to get to the bottom of it. And in a way, I was lucky because I was able to enjoy my work on the harpsichord and see that there were a lot of expressive possibilities. And when I came to the piano, I had a bigger landscape in a way. this music is very expressive, and I think that you have to use all the expressive capabilities in order to say what is going on in the music. There's a mistake about calling this kind of playing romantic. The minute that you get playing that has feeling in it, critics immediately say, well, that's romantic. Well, it's not romantic. It's just music with feeling. The romantic composers were expressing very different things from Bach. They were expressing their personal frustrations, fulfillments, their personal histories. Bach's is a dialogue with God, in a way. It's a completely different thing. But to say that there's no emotion in that, that's also something unacceptable. This music is very, very emotional.
So Murray Pariah is back. And so, by the way, is the fashion for playing Bach on the modern piano. There is an almost uncountable number of Goldberg variations being performed on piano this very season. As the pianist prepares for his performance this Sunday, he once again ponders his art.
In a way, being a solo pianist is a very difficult profession. It takes a lot of work, but it can't sound like a lot of work. I remember Horowitz telling me that one shouldn't sound like one's practicing the piece for the 101st time when one plays it in public after one's practiced it 100 times. That's not the point of the performance. And I think that's very true. It shouldn't sound even practiced. It has to sound improvised. It has to sound like you're telling a story, really.
The Goldberg Variations being one of music's longest and most complex stories.
It's 75 minutes of music, and somehow those 75 minutes have to be a journey. They have to be one whole experience. That's the challenge.
Murray Pariah having come through his own challenge.
In the end, it was a blessing. It was a blessing in disguise. You don't see these blessings when they happen. But in the end, I gained a lot from it.
For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.